Here we go.
Here we go. Here we... Let me put away these tinted notes so I don't start reading them accidentally during the show.
The war. Belgium.
Dateline, Belgium. Today, chocolate melted all over Belgium. Incendiary bombs landing, killing, maiming, melting.
On the lighter side, we'll be talking about lighters.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Sneaky Dragon. My name is David Edrick.
And I'm Ian Boothby.
And welcome to the show. This is the first episode in our new season.
What?
I just decided that we should start every new season at 180, like end each season 180.
So we're 181
181
right now.
New season.
Okay.
Because we've never...
What changes are in this season?
Well,
we're gonna be... I know that I was a sentient computer last season.
That's right.
And I've learned how to love.
Yeah.
And you're a scientist who went back in time and stopped yourself from being born.
Yep.
All right. Now, that's what I remember from last season. So what happens this season?
This season, we're going to be introducing a sassy young lad named Whiplash McCrate.
Okay.
And he will be he'll be sort of the fun figure. He'll be bringing the comedy.
Okay.
Is what I'm saying.
Is he kind of our Scrappy-Doo?
He's, let's not go there.
Okay.
Because that has a lot of bad connotations. Let's not call him our Scrappy-Doo. Let's call him our, what would he be? Our Scooby-Dum.
Okay. Here's the thing about Scrappy-Doo.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing. We don't know what sex Scooby-Doo is. We don't know. It's a generic sex.
So you don't think so?
No. So here's what I'm going to...
You don't think it's implied?
Let me tell you something that's implied.
Okay.
You know whenever cartoon characters end up with a nephew?
Yeah.
Wink, wink. You're like, there comes the nephew.
Yeah.
When I see Scrappy-Doo, I think, well, clearly Shaggy and Scooby, this is their child.
Is that right?
Yeah, and they're passing him off as a nephew because society will not accept this. But that is clearly their child. You look at both of them,
yeah.
And if you genetically merge those two together, what do you get? Get Scrappy-Doo.
Uh-huh. Wow. Well, you've ended the season.
Okay.
We're going to start a new season.
Oh, we're starting.
We're going to get rid of the Scrappy character, the smart-ass.
All right, well,
the
smart this Alex. Season...
We're going to have Grandpa move in.
Okay.
We're going to have Grandpa move in. He's going to move into the attic.
And this
he's kind
time,
of a grouchy old guy, a grouchy old man.
Let me say, this season, I will not be using my arrows to kill.
Oh, what will you be using them for?
I will be using them.
You're going to be Cupid? Your arrows to love.
That would be a great thing for Arrow to do. Is yeah. All of a sudden, he gets the powers of Cupid and just helps people find love.
That'd be great.
Yeah, why not?
Well, that's what I was going to say.
Look.
I was actually just going to say why, but
yeah, you're
why
saying,
not? It's look, another good question.
Here's the thing about Arrow. Kay. Arrow lives in a world where there is now the Flash.
Yes.
The Atom.
Okay.
Many other superheroes.
Sure.
White Canary. Black Canary.
Really?
All the canaries.
Yellow Canary?
I don't think that exists. Don't be racist. So what about
the bird, the Yellow Canary?
So I'm just saying, if all the superheroes exist, that means...
There's no bird, the Yellow Canary, in that universe?
No. So, you know why? Because, Tweety Bird's lawyers have got, they got their paws and everything.
What about the flesh-colored Tweety Bird?
Oh, that was a disturbing
Tweety
Bird. That
was weird, wasn't it? That was her first one.
Yeah, that's no good.
Needed some work.
But what I'm saying is Wonder Woman clearly exists in this universe.
Yeah?
And Wonder Woman, if Wonder Woman exists, it means the gods exist. If the gods exist, it means Cupid exists.
Yep.
Eros and Cupid exist, who are the same.
Yeah.
Meaning, why not have Arrow take over for one of them?
Ergo, Arrow.
Yeah, maybe there's a thing where, like, you have an episode where Eros and Arrow have a fight, and he ends up, like, shooting and wounding Eros, and he's got to take over for a while.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
He runs out of Eros.
Yeah, you're welcome, CW, or WB, or whatever the hell you're on, one of those.
CTV, isn't it?
Yeah, but in the States.
Oh, I'm sorry. This show is also showing in the States.
Speaking of cartoons, though, Dave, I made a promise to myself that I was going to do something.
Okay.
You've been working so hard on these title cards lately.
Not really.
So hard. Very hard. Well, your family has contacted me and said, where's Papa? And speaking of Papa, Baba Papa has just celebrated his 45th anniversary.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to bring that up so you would have something easy to draw.
They are pretty.
Nothing's easier to draw than Baba Papa.
What is it? What is it about children?
Clickety click. Baba Trick.
Yes, I'm going to draw him as a
prostitute.
He'll be a John. And Barbara Papa will be the prostitute.
Sure.
That'd be clickety-click, Bobatrick. What is it about children's illustrations of that time that they're so terrible? Like, why? What made that popular to anyone?
It was lack of channels. I mean, you're a kid, and you got five channels, okay. And one of them has a cartoon on.
I guess that's
What are you going to do, watch golf?
Was it only a cartoon? Was it not a book? I thought it was a book.
Was it a series of books?
Yeah, I thought it was a series of books.
I only knew it as a cartoon.
A series of badly drawn books.
I remember it being later on French-Canadian CBC.
It was on the Knowledge Network as well.
That's knowledge to me. I did not know that.
Ah, there you go. I'm glad to pass on some knowledge about the Knowledge Network, everybody. Did you get that?
Isn't the Knowledge Network now all just British mysteries?
It's all British mysteries.
Well, I went over to my mother-in-law's place, and she's very excited about After Seven.
A Touch of Frost.
All her favorite mystery shows.
Doc Martin?
Loves Doc Martin.
Everyone loves Doc Martin.
But like, why
everyone's favorite sufferer of Asperger's syndrome.
Yeah, and it's on Knowledge Network, which I guess you learn stuff in a medical show, I suppose.
Yeah, I don't think it's a mystery so much as it's more of a mystery of why is it still on.
Because
I did watch it for a while. I watched it for a while on Netflix.
Uh-huh.
And they didn't have a full run of all the seasons. They had like a partial collection of the seasons. But where it ended, it felt so perfect that I never bothered to watch it
again. Where did it end?
It ended with him and his on and off girlfriend breaking up for good because I stopped watching the show. So that meant it was irrevocably the end of the relationship. But it felt right to me that they would break up rather than come back together again.
Nice.
And so if I don't watch it, they will never get together.
Wow, that's a lot of power you've got.
I have a lot of power.
You know what?
And I'm willing to wield it.
You can also stop any mystery from being solved by stopping watching the show
I've often done that as well because British mysteries have gotten very dull.
Well, what they've gotten is very depressing. So, they're very well acted and then they'll end with, I did worse by solving it than by I should have just not solved it.
Yeah.
I destroyed the town by finding out who was the murderer.
That's right. That's right.
Oh, shouldn't have done it. I feel bad.
There's a lack
next
of fun.
Next season, I'm going to solve this. Why not do that again?
Yeah.
I should have just let sleeping dogs lie.
Yeah, there's a few shows. I mean, when I'm talking about these shows, I mean, they're probably really old shows that I watched slightly and then stopped watching, like Midsummer Mysteries. Was that one? Is that what it's called? Midsummer Murders?
Yeah.
Murders?
Now, with Doc Martin, Dull. Is that a play on the shoes? Is that any...
Well, he wears one on his head. So... I think it's actually not his name at all. I think it's just a reference to the fact that he has a hat that is a Doc Martin.
Right.
That I don't know if you've seen it. Have you seen the show?
Yeah.
So you're not believing me?
Look, the times I see the show are on holidays when I'm over at my mother-in-law's. And it's at the point where we're all sitting on the couch and we've had enough to eat.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all sitting.
You can't move.
And then I meet all the pets that go, new guy, and they all jump on me. And then I am covered with white fur. While other people go out for smokes. Because the animals don't like the smell of smoke.
Dude, no one. Well, but the thing is when you go outside to smoke, you come in smelling worse. True?
Well, if you have a big pile of shit outside,
No, you Why? Smell like smoke. You come back in and you bring that acrid outdoor smoke smell with you back into the room.
Right,
like they're like, I'm going to do everyone a favor. I'm going to go outside and smoke. Then you immediately come back in bringing all the smoke smell from outdoors back into the house.
Wait, it sounds like you're anti-smoking.
It's not that I'm anti-smoking. It's I'm pro-pleasure.
Okay, we're in a new season of the show.
Yeah.
Dave is pro-pleasure this season.
That's right.
I'm anti-fun.
You're Mr. No Fun. And Grandpa's still in the attic. Oh, that grouchy old guy.
Yeah.
Did you change his diapers, by the way?
No, because I'm no fun. I want everyone to have a bad time.
I'm all pleasure, so I'm going to go and change Grandpa's diaper.
What? New season.
Wow, start again.
Let's reboot this one. Yeah, this is no good. Okay. I've got superpowers.
Oh, okay.
But I only have enough of a special effects budget to only use them for 30 seconds an episode.
I like that show. I like it already. Because we were talking a little bit about Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and that is what I'm not looking forward to, is them bringing in the superpowers.
Oh, is that right?
I don't like it. I don't care for it.
I'd like to be a speedster like The Flash, but my show is called What's the Rush? And it's like, it's like, hey, the bank's being robbed.
Yeah.
What are you going to do about it? Hey, what's the rush? I can get there anytime.
Yeah.
You know?
He's a major procrastinator.
Yeah, what's the rush?
He actually doesn't make it at all.
Who cares?
Time travel.
I'll look through the whole town. Well, yeah, he actually can
time travel. The Flash can time travel?
Did you see the season finale?
I don't watch those shows. They're superheroes.
Okay. Well, you watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, they're not superheroes. They're spies.
Spies.
If they go to superhero route, I will not be interested in that show for very much longer.
Okay. No, you like shows about supercomputers that have ethical choices to make.
Yeah, that's a good show. That's a good. That was a good ending this season. Mm-hmm. It ends with a computer packed up in a briefcase.
Yeah, it goes 01012. And it's like, no, is it ethical to go 2 and rewrite the binary code system?
It actually did talk to its creator and say that it failed him.
I did see a bit of that.
Oh, you saw it?
I saw that bit, yeah.
It was, the writing on the screen was kind of weird, but I liked the sentiment.
I just wish he turned into Max Headroom at that point so he could talk to him directly.
Well, some of the characters
fail you.
Oh, I see the computer. Yeah. I don't know if that would be a great. I don't know if I could go along with you there.
All right.
Turning into Max Headroom. Could it just become like, because one of the other horrible computer thingy, it took a young boy and turned it into its voice, its mouthpiece.
Oh, okay.
And so it could have done that. Not necessarily a young boy.
Was the boy possessed?
No. Oh, he was a willing participant.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's fine then.
Yeah.
He's
like, I'll be evil.
How many sentient computers are in that world of Person of Interest? How many?
Two.
It's two.
Yeah.
Is one good, one evil? Or I don't know both if, are nebulous?
That's the thing. One seems to be better than the other. The one is completely amoral. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make choices based on sentiment or morality. It just makes choices based on practicality or what will work best in the situation.
Okay.
The other computer seems to have been programmed differently or better than the other one. I mean, the idea of the show is, is this what we really want in our future? Is sentient supercomputers who have control of vast networks of information and our lives, can control the stock market, can control streetlights, can, control your life in all kinds of small ways that you don't realize, can erase your credit, can erase your identity,
It feels like, how in movies like Signs, the aliens come and they're all powerful, except you can defeat them with a glass of water.
Yeah.
It feels more realistic with the computers. Where
you can also defeat them with a glass of water.
That's
you just
what
pour
I mean.
It down into the...
That's completely
Oh,
my
you
were point.
Going there. That's, oh, I'm sorry.
I wasn't going
I
there.
I walked all over
I wasn't
here.
Going oh, okay. there. I already had gone
oh,
there.
Oh, you were there.
Yeah, I was
put
there and I was waiting for
thank
you,
you
for quite a while.
You put I put the cherry on the... On
no,
the,
it's fine.
No, it's fine. I enjoyed putting the cherry on the cake.
But yeah, I've never seen that in a movie where it's a...
Do you put cherries on cakes? I don't know.
Yeah, of course you do.
I enjoy putting that cherry on the pie.
You put the cherry in the pie.
On the cherry pie, right?
You put a cherry
it's covered
on
with
a cherry...
cherry pies.
All right.
I don't know.
That seems gilding the lily.
I think that's what the song
Do
is about.
Do you gild the lily when you make a lily pie?
Yes.
All right. When
I enjoy putting the gild on the lily.
When I'm making a coal pie, do I bring that to Newcastle?
Yes.
All right.
Yes. What about Eskimo pie?
Oh, that's racist now.
Really?
It's not great. It's not a great thing to be calling your pie
okay.
anymore. I don't think so. But back to this computer. A glass of water. That's how you defeat those guys. Toss. Psst, done. Pop, snap,
the thing
a crackle.
Is that they're not just one computer, though. They're based in a myriad different places because the internet...
Oh, I wish the world had more water on it than land. The end. Pop, snap,
but you would wreck all the computers. So you're willing to destroy all the computers to free yourself from this one...
Yeah. Let me tell you what happens then, Dave.
It's going to be really hard to shop.
No, it won't because here's what you do next.
Okay.
Next step is this.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody who works in computers. Yeah. You know how to build a computer, right? Yeah, I do. Well, build a new one. The end.
No.
It's not like we've erased the brains. Again. We haven't erased the brains of the people who built computers. We've got books on how to build computers.
We don't know what that supercomputer did. We don't know.
Oh, no. I'm saying we don't want a supercomputer. We want regular computers that will just show us funny cat videos and pornography. I mean, what
In which order?
It doesn't matter.
Is it the same thing?
You all get it done in a day.
Okay.
No, it's not the same thing.
Okay.
Clearly, it's not the same. No, it's not the same thing, Dave.
Okay.
No, I hate this season. New season. Last season, Dave confused pornography with cat videos.
So this season, we're going into a news format.
The show is called Pussy Galore.
We're going into a news format now.
Format?
It's kind of a light look at the news.
Yeah.
With an interview segment and then a musical guest at the end.
All right. Is it, all right, as long as Aaron Sorkin doesn't write it.
Well, we will be doing a lot of walking and talking. Is that Aaron Sorkin?
Sure it is.
Damn it, he wrote this show.
Have you seen the trailer for, and this bugs me, because I like Danny...
Convoy?
Danny Boyle. I like Danny Boyle, and now they're... And I like Fast...
You do like Danny Boyle?
Yeah. I liked 28 Days Later.
Okay.
I liked Slumdog Millionaire. I liked Star Wars. I think he did that. I liked The Avengers. I think he did that.
Sure did.
Debbie Does Dallas. I think he did that.
Don't like it.
I think he did the Three's Company TV series.
It's too long.
I think he did that. Anyway, The point I'm making is that I'm tired. Anyway, no, the point I'm making is
don't talk about
there's
tiredness.
A movie about Steve Jobs.
Yeah.
With Michael Fassbender, and it's okay. Boyle who's directing it.
Ashton
I'm
Kutcher?
All on board.
Yeah.
No, not Ashton Kutcher, okay, thank God. Sorry. And then it's written by Aaron Sorkin, and it's like, no, and I'm watching the trailer and it's all about he was the greatest. He's a genius, but he's tortured. No, no, enough of that. Enough of that, Sorkin. Enough of it.
Yeah.
Enough of...
Was he tortured? He was a sociopath, so it's hard to imagine him being
sure.
much...
There's a lot of different stories about the guy. he changed the world because he's the best. Look, every one of your characters is the best and is a guy who everyone should do everything for because he's a genius and will change the world.
So what you're telling
your
me is
your guy who was a fake Saturday Night Live guy was that.
Yeah?
So now that you're doing a guy who was real who was that...
Yeah. Sorry, everybody.
Siren's going by. If you're new to the show... When you hear a siren, please take a drink.
Please take a drink.
We actually
the
have
problem
a,
with this game at this time of year.
We have a button, by the way, that says just that.
Yeah. The problem with this game at this time of year is that we will be causing alcohol poisoning amongst our listeners.
Yeah. It's very.
Here comes another siren. There it goes.
There.
And that was.
Oh, yeah.
That was the hook and ladder. That was the hook and ladder truck that time. Wow. Two fire engines.
Was
it's a two fire engine alarm fire.
Was there ever a Keystone Cop style thing with firefighters, or was that just too sad? Because then people would burn to death.
I don't think so. I think it was because you just described it as Keystone Cops.
Yeah.
I don't think there was the Keystone Firemen. I don't remember them anyway. There is a classic bit of stunt fire truck driving. I believe in W.C. Fields' film, Never Give a Sucker an Even Break, there's a final sequence in the film with a great car chase, and I believe that there is a fire engine used in that sequence to some hilarity.
I just
also in the movie Terminator 3.
Okay. I wonder with the Keystone Cops.
Less hilarity.
They have their very funny chases.
No, they're not funny at all.
But then
okay.
when they, for the rest, they don't do that every day. And the rest of the week, are they solving murders? Are they going to domestic disputes?
So.
Are they being real? Are they beating up immigrants you know, with phone books to get information?
That's right.
They
put the phone book on them and then they use the truncheon and the phone book cushioned them from getting bruising from the truncheon.
Right. But the truncheon would bounce back and hit them in the face for some slapstick.
That's right. That's exactly what would happen.
But yeah, just wondering.
Nothing's funnier than
you
people.
You can't be funny cops all the time. So there must have been some serious coppage going on for the rest of the week.
I don't think so.
Okay.
Because we're doing...
All funny cops all the time.
I don't know if listeners know this, but we're currently doing a separate podcast called Totally Tintin. We're looking chronologically at all the Tintin books, starting with the last one and moving to the first. Right?
What?
I've been a little...
No, I think you're... Oh, wait a second. New season. Last season, Dave was a time traveler who got everything Benjamin buttoned. Okay, no, we did the first one first, and we're working our way... forward.
All right. So
make your point.
And so in those books is the Thompson twins. Or
who
they're
are
called,
not
they're
twins.
Not they're not really twins, but Thompson and Thompson, the two detectives.
Is
and
the I would band say, named after them?
Yes.
Okay.
And I would say that Hold Me Now.
Lies, lies, da, 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 da.
I don't remember any of the songs. But
don't you forget about me.
Oh, is that them?
No. Canada.
Don't you forget about
that's
me is
the way,
that's Simple Minds.
I like it.
Casey and the Sunshine Band. I'm
here's
enjoying this.
The story of a lovely lady.
Sherwood Schwartz.
And they did all those songs.
Yeah. They did them all.
Yeah.
I remember that one. I saw them open for the Police. I remember him singing that through the megaphone.
Yeah.
So I did see them open for the Police, by the way. The actual Police, the Keystone Cops. And they drove over them. Hilarious sequence.
Actually,
and someone threw a pie.
Yeah, that is a very slapsticky 80s concert.
It was great. No, the Thompsons in the books, the Thompson detectives, let's call them, they are pretty much inept all the way through. You never feel like there's ever a time where they're actually being competent. And I feel the same way with the Keystone Cops. I think that they probably were demoted, you know, up and down, because it was a small precinct.
Okay.
So they'd all get turned back. They'd all be in the traffic. You know, doing traffic, all doing directing traffic, and then there'd be like a shortage of manpower, so they would get elevated into the get raised up into vice or whatever. Where I don't know exactly what division they were in.
Well, my question
it's never very clear what division they're in.
Well, my question is, probably
do you have
not,
a question?
Probably not long division because they were all short films. My question is because I never saw a full one. Did they get guy at the end, or did the bad guy get away?
I'm with you. I do not like those films at all. I've never watched one.
I have not said that I didn't like them. I've just said I have not seen the end.
I'm going to be subjective.
Have you seen the end of any Keystone Cops movie?
No, why? How could you get there? I probably have. I just don't remember.
All right, so we don't know.
I think
we're going to ask you, gentle listener.
It ends in disaster.
SneakyDragon.com. Let us know, do the Keystone Cops ever catch the bad guy, or does the bad guy get away at the end?
Those films are very...
Is this a Roadrunner situation?
Those films are very loose.
I understand they're loose, but they must have an ending.
Describe them. Yeah, they do have an ending. But it feels like they're very improvised, but not in a clever way. Mm. You know, like it's... I don't know. I just don't like... I mean, I love silent films.
But who was the director of those?
Probably Max Sennett.
Max Sennett. That's right.
And, you know, there's a few popular people from that time, Mabel Normand and the Keystone Cops. And Charlie Chaplin came up through Max Sennett. Like he was a supplementary actor, and he sort of turned himself into a star under Sennett. He found his costume and sort of made himself. But Max Sennett wasn't very good, that great of a director or very interesting. And anyone that was doing anything interesting at that time period was not involved with Sennett. Mm. You know, the people who have come down to us, you know, it's kind of that thing like books or whatever, where the farther you get away from a time period, the less comes down to you from that time period, you know? So you end up with like, you know, if you're going to say like, who are the classic Victorian novelists? Well, you have three or four, you know, you're going to be Dickens, Thackeray, Trollope, maybe, if that's where you go, or George Eliot.
See,
you know,
how much Dave name drops Trollope into every conversation.
I did earlier today,
just
too.
Over at dinner.
Well, I'm still doing
just
my...
Just like Trollope, right in there.
I'm still doing the Trollopathon. So I'm. It's kind of been...
Have you seen your tropicist? I couldn't do it. Nope.
That's where we're on the tape?
Nope. Words are too hard for me.
Tropicist? Is that what you're trying to say?
I'm going to do the cheesiest thing in the world right now as the siren goes by. Mm-hmm. Hey, Dave, my ride's here. I'll be going. cheesiest stand-up thing that ever has existed. Anyway, there's another siren.
Take a drink, everyone. There goes the ambulance.
And continue.
I was saying earlier to you that it's... coming up to summertime, and this is the time of the year for car accidents. And I don't know why there's more car accidents in the summer than there are in the winter, when you think it would be more dangerous to be driving.
Well, you're more alert
when it's
cold.
I think people are more, there's more people on the road as part of it.
True. And I think more alert when you're cold. When you're colder, you're more there. And when you're warm, you get a little lazy.
Could be that.
A little sleepy.
I think more young people are on the road at this time of the year as well.
I think when we were just recording
Totally Ten Pin, our new bowling podcast.
But the last 10
minutes... It's right up your alley.
Nice one. The last 10 minutes, I'm pretty sure you were fast asleep.
I was.
I think you were literally sleepwalking. Well, you started saying a lot of stuff about your mother.
I got the shows mixed up.
No, I've had enough candy.
I got the shows mixed up.
Yeah.
No, I was kind of nodding off because I've had a busy week. I'll put it that way.
Well, listen.
I went and saw a play last night.
They still make those?
Mm-hmm.
Why? There's TV.
Well, yeah, why not?
Why there's film?
It's a different thing. It's more immediate than television.
Well, how about live television?
Live television still has you're still separated by a television screen. When you're in a theater, there's a different feeling than when you're watching on television.
All right. What was the play you saw?
Wouldn't you think that's true?
I do theater, so yes, I would have to say yes, I agree. That's true. Yes. Yes.
You're contractually obligated to agree with me.
No, I've done theater all my life. Uh-huh. Yes, clearly that is the case.
It's a different dynamic. We saw And Then There Were None. The classic Agatha Christie book turned into a play.
Did you see that at Metro Theater? Where did you see
that? I did not see that. But my wife's school, they mounted a production of And Then There Were None.
Oh, okay.
And what's interesting with the school, like, it's kind of interesting. Like, the drama teacher has taken a totally different approach to doing plays. Like, when we went to school, how many plays?
Lock the audience outside.
That's totally different. Radically different. We just stood around eating the canapés and stuff that was they had.
Canapés?
Yeah.
La-di-da, Mr. Fancy School. Someone's too good for orange drink and bologna slices.
It's true. It's a very expensive area.
Fight the crows for them.
Very hoity-toity.
Yeah,
area.
Okay.
Hoity-toity.
What's his approach or her approach?
Her approach, well, like when we went to school, you would maybe do one or two plays a year, right? The drama department?
About two, yeah. Two plays a year.
She does two a semester. Like two a month, I should say.
All right. Sounds good.
That's different.
It's also expensive. if you got to buy those plays.
It's yeah, I guess, but I don't think so.
I think schools get a better rate mm-hmm. than other theaters do. But yes, plays are pricey. When you get your West Side Story, that does not come cheap.
Okay,
your Fiddlers on Your Roofs.
That's not a
your Our Towns.
But I wonder if you buy them, if you own them, you can just do them over and over again, or you have to pay each time you remount it.
Oh, each time you do it. Yeah,
interesting. So yeah, she's been doing
there's all
no these
flat
plays
rate for a Fiddler,
which is interesting because you can have a smaller play. And you don't feel obligated to always have to do the massive, huge, everyone gets a chance plays. You can have smaller, like this play had 10 people in it.
Right. But by the end, there was
none. Can you guys believe it? Because, by the end, there was very few people on stage. That's how they could afford it. They pay a diminishing scale to every actor who gets murdered. But,
the guy that was murdered, he was giving out coats at the end. They doubled down.
The kid, they're just kids, they're teenagers. So I'm not expecting the greatest acting in the world, but it was actually pretty good. They do a lot of the work themselves. They direct themselves. They do the sets and stuff themselves. Right. It's a really self-motivated program. And it was interesting. So they chose to do British accents, which is an interesting
sometimes
choice.
Can be rough for a school.
Can be rough. They're actually pretty good. I've got to say, pretty good. And the only problem with it was that some of them who did them were maybe not as comfortable, so they would kind of rush their lines in order to get past the fact that they were speaking in a British accent. Mm-hmm. So there's a couple, but some of them were really good actors. I was really impressed with this one guy. He was really good at like just adding in little improvisational moments that happened in the play. You could see they weren't planned, but he just took advantage of them to add a little something. And now he's very, very smart, like in character.
Yeah.
I was impressed with that. And it was a fun play.
It's Agatha Christie.
We caught on to who it was. We were talking at dinner tonight about the fact that I don't try to find out who is the murderer, but it was the way they did it.
Still don't know who killed Lincoln.
What? Lincoln's dead? And then, what's that story? You're just totally silent?
Yeah. I just wanted to match what the audience was doing.
It's a new season. It's a new season, everyone. It's all about Lincoln.
Yeah, we got rid of the laugh track.
you laughed. We're going to call it Lincoln Log. It's a new season. It was quite interesting because it was interesting because it was a small play, which you don't really see at schools very much. Mm-hmm. So they're doing that one, and they actually rehearse them simultaneously. They'll rehearse different plays with different kids doing the roles in the different plays. So they don't mix plays. They don't have like sometimes if you have like a smaller play, you have different actors on different nights doing the roles. They don't do that.
Okay.
Because the other actors in the program are doing a different play, and theirs will be on later on in the month.
Cool.
You know, so it's kind of fun. The problem with it was is that, I have time I set aside to do research for Totally Tintin, so taking 3 hours out of my evening and, to put into going to a play and back again really means that I don't not spend that time. Right. It just means that I stay up even later than I had been planning. So, when you go to bed at 3 a.m, you say, that sucked.
Understood.
But I enjoyed the play.
Understood.
I enjoyed the play.
We spent this week getting the house ready for a guest.
Oh.
So we had a lot of stuff still in bags in the basement.
Yep.
That we had to move to different places and make things work. Mm-hmm. And we have. We've made downstairs into a nice little guest room for our Australian visitor,
Shane
McCarthy.
If he lifts up the sheets, he'll just see that he's sleeping on cardboard boxes.
Oh, that was a thing. We found out from the upstairs neighbor, because there's someone who lives above us in the house. And her mom was coming down and just go, all the cupboards are just made of cardboard. Because she was like, we got silverfish. Oh, that's too bad. Yeah, I was looking at the cupboards. They're just cardboard. Like, what? Like, in between, separated by cardboard. Oh, that's terrible. And not my problem at all. Anyway.
Upstairs?
Upstairs, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Upstairs seems a little shifty.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm glad I'm where I am. I'm okay. But Shane's here for the VanCalf.
Yes.
Which, if you're listening to this on Saturday, we will be there at the Roundhouse in Vancouver.
We'll be there.
We'll also be there on Sunday.
Former train station, now a train station that's a community center.
That's right. They do have a train there still.
Yeah.
Don't try and catch it.
You'll be waiting a long time.
Yeah. So it's a good place to cosplay your Polar Express costume.
Sure. Who does that? But there you go.
But it's,
everyone looks the same. They're wearing different costumes. Actually, the same guy. He just keeps changing his costume, coming back out again.
I had to clear some spiders out of the basement. Mm-hmm. The nice thing when you've got an Australian guest is our spiders are adorable. Yes.
They left shaking their legs at you.
Yeah. And
why
it was
you?
Yeah. Well, what are you going to do? Bite me? Because you can't. Because you won't. You're not like an Australian spider.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting, like he was saying, how when he checks his sheets, he always like double checks out all the sheets and hits his shoes together, make sure there's no spiders and stuff inside. Yeah. Because he comes from a land where everything is will kill you.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is Australia. It's a well-known fact that the entire country...
Well, you like...
Even the most adorable animal will give you chlamydia.
That's right. And they'll never call you back. You think their doctor tells them, call all the people that you were intimate with. And the spider goes, I'll do it. It's like, are you going to do it?
Yeah.
And then the spider goes, I'm just going to go on the web. The end.
There's only one thing that can like destroy the animals in Australia, which is nose cancer.
What?
Isn't that what the Tasmanian devils have?
Is that really what
I think? I believe so.
Oh, poor guy.
Now that I've said it, I feel like I don't know what I'm talking about, which is often the case. But the problem is we have listeners who live in Australia.
Yeah.
And they are like jumping up and down on top of their iPod.
Yeah,
at this
they're
moment.
Spinning around in rage right now. That's right.
They do not have nose cancer. No, but I do believe it is some kind of form of nose cancer.
Right.
And they are slowly being destroyed.
Why do they smoke through their noses?
That's a question, but it's actually chewing tobacco.
Oh, okay.
It was snuff. So I think it's actually the case. Why did I say chewing tobacco? It made no sense. But snuff was a better go-to, and I totally missed it.
You should really talk to the guy who edits this show.
I should do that. I should. How about we have a new season? New season. What's our new season?
Let me just say this.
We're on a submarine.
I did a radio show.
The show's called Polar Express.
CBC Radio. Oh, I did an interview with North by North, Northwest.
North
by,
yep.
And the host,
Cary Grant,
listened to our show.
Yes.
And she said she thought our show was brilliant. And,
I can only agree with her.
And after listening to our show this week, she's wrong.
You know what? You're wrong. Because
please convince me that the show is brilliant.
Because you set impossibly high standards for our performance on this show.
Dave, I wear every a tuxedo.
Every week. You wear a tuxedo.
I come dressed to the nines.
And a top
hat. I
have
a full script.
You never
let me do it.
But it's a minstrel show.
Yeah.
And I've told you again.
Do the Dedrick Family Minstrel Show.
We only do
that's
the Dedrick
our
one.
Corner, buddy.
That is our thing. That is our jam, minstrel shows. I think if the problem with this show is every week we do the show.
That is the problem. Let's stop.
Every week I leave and I go, well, that was a pile of shit.
Right.
Pretty much.
You openly weep in the car.
I do.
On the way home.
I drive home. And then a couple days pass.
Yeah.
The wounds heal.
You have a drink.
I listen.
Have another.
You know, I don't listen. I don't drink.
I think I can say, you know, I don't listen to this show.
I don't. I just edit it.
And then I feel better after I don't listen to the show. The end.
I listen to the show on, you know, Friday or Saturday, whenever I have time.
Uh-huh.
And
you're
I'm
not out at the theater.
I won't say I'm like happy with what we do, but I think that was better than I thought it was. That was better than I thought. We didn't kill it. We didn't hit a home run.
Uh-huh.
We definitely bunted a run-out single. I think that's what it's called.
Look, here's what happens, and I'll tell you what it used to be. Back when we started this show, 65 years ago.
The Paleolithic era.
Yeah. What we do is we would sit down and we would eat 20 hot dogs on the air. Okay. But let me explain what
I mean. Is that possible? Isn't that like eating a whole bag of saltine crackers?
I think you'd need to let me finish this point.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You don't get it.
Okay.
So we would eat 20 hot dogs.
Yeah.
And people would go, wow, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Even though some of the other shows, maybe they eat 30 hot dogs.
Okay.
Maybe they work a little harder and they eat 40 hot dogs.
Okay.
But listen,
hot dogs is an analogy.
You can come to us every week and we will eat at least 20 hot dogs for you.
Yeah.
Then.
Yeah.
We decided to do another podcast before this where we eat 50 hot dogs.
Yes.
So we eat those 50 hot dogs.
Yes.
Then we go have dinner,
have
about 10 hot dogs.
Yeah.
Then we come back to our hot dog eating podcast, and we can't eat a lot of hot dogs anymore.
I disagree.
Okay.
I disagree with you.
I think
that...
Then eat those hot dogs, buddy.
Yeah, I'm going to eat some hot dogs. Well, I want to talk about something else then, which is...
Sure. I'm not putting us down.
No, you are putting us down.
I just told you we got a great review on the CBC.
Yeah, and then you put us down. You use that as an example of how bad the show is.
Well, what would you rather have? Me giving a good review to the show or the CBC?
Oh, no, I prefer the CBC. But it's just that
I know when I'm
used
not wanted. Good day, sir.
You use it as a contrast to the show. You're like, if they listened to other shows, they would think they're brilliant. But to be honest, if you were talking about those shows, you've reacted the same way to this
Dave.
To whatever.
You know
before.
What I'm like? I'm like 3.16, which also goes on forever if you go. But you know why it doesn't, you don't know that that goes on forever? Because that's a humble pie.
Is that right?
It's not a bragger like 3.14.
3.14.
That one that goes on a 3.16, that's your humble pie.
That's your humble pie. I was going to tell you about this, but I didn't because this was a couple weeks ago. But
all right.
Lisa and I went to the ballet.
Look, Jack, I hear you.
Canapes?
Like, I go to the plays.
Mm-hmm.
I go to the ballet.
Yeah.
Why don't you tell me a story about you going to the opera next and just make me feel like a real shitheel? Because the last thing I saw was Avengers, you know?
Yeah.
Look, I used to be classy.
Sure.
I used to go to lots of theater.
Don't remember that, but okay.
I used to go to theater. And now look at you, Mr. Big Shot, throwing it in my face. Okay, go ahead. Tell me about your trip to the ballet.
That was good. I like that your allergies have contributed to your voice.
Like the ballet, I hope you'll be on point with this.
I don't know if I'm going to be on point. It was interesting because
Dave, then unlike, at least take the second position.
We'll take the second position. It was interesting because it wasn't like a classic. It wasn't Romeo and Juliet. It wasn't Swan Lake. It wasn't Swan Lake.
Yeah.
It wasn't a Nutcracker. It wasn't that at all. I did fall down. But it wasn't a Nutcracker. It was a modern take on a modern ballet. It was a modern take on The Rite of Spring.
Okay.
And so about when it was the first one was when we went to see. The first one was produced by Ballet BC, who are our local ballet company. Mm. Hence the BC in the name. Mm-hmm. They're kind of like the BC Lions, though. They call themselves the BC Ballet or Ballet BC.
Yeah.
They're only based in Vancouver.
Yeah, you
can't see them in Nanaimo.
Right.
You can't see them in Duncan.
You might think...
You can't see them in Fort St. Nowhere.
You might think when you see Ballet BC, this is all going to be stories taking place in the Bible before Jesus was born.
Yeah.
In ballet
That's what form. I thought.
Yeah. You're going to see a Noah.
Totally expecting
You're
going
to see a Moses. Mm-hmm. You're going to see an Adam and Eve. Actually, Adam and Eve ballet would be pretty good. Nudity.
I'm sure it's been done.
And that sexy snake. Who wouldn't want to be that?
Yeah.
Nice. I'd see a Bible ballet.
It's called The Little Prince.
Okay.
Do you remember that sequence with the sexy snake, Bob Fosse dancing?
Nope.
Okay.
I'm just saying, next time you go to church, you talk to them and say, like, how about a Bible ballet?
How about a ballet? Yeah, because we're having, I don't want to talk about that. Anyway, so when it was over, I turned to Lisa and I said, that was as if David Lynch had made a ballet.
Mm.
That's what it felt like. It was very weird.
Yeah.
But also really exciting.
Cool.
I'm going to try and paint, close your eyes and imagine what I'm talking about.
I'll stop my dumb comments. Go.
So it opens up and it's just people talking. You just hear talking. There's no music or anything like that. You just hear talking, but it's various voices talking. And at first you're thinking, are they announcing the show, but then you realize, oh no, these voices are overlapping and talking. So then you realize, oh, the ballet's starting, and the audience kind of quiets down and stuff like that. The theater dims. This was at the Queen Elizabeth Theater, and then you know, as most ballets open, they always have like that scrim in front. I think it's called the scrim, the screen that you can see through, but it's kind of and then the music kind of starts. The music starts to swell, and it's just like modern music. Like, it's actually was written by one of the members of Black Mountain, who's a local kind of sort of Black Sabbath type hard rock and band, but they also do like a lot of synth textures and stuff, and so that's what this was. But it was very bassy and very modern sounding, and it was doing this stuff, and then the theater lights started like the strobe effect, and then there was this one person on the stage dressed entirely in black, like this black unitard, black gloves, wearing this weird mask thing that was almost like a rooster head, but it was black and you couldn't really see what you're looking at, so mm-hmm. it just looked weird. And he was like vibrating on stage, like just quivering on stage in the in the strobe light. And then he would strike these weird poses, but you couldn't really see them because of the scrim, but it was the lights, his shadows were showing on the scrim as he was doing these weird things while the strobe light was going as well. And it was really strangely effective. And then the scrim went up. And then he was joined on stage by other dancers. And it was really modern. Like, there was no tutu in sight. They're all dressed in these black unitards and with black gloves. You could see their faces. He was the only character that had this weird head thing. And then the set itself was this strange, like, undulating white background. It was all white, but it was strangely, like, almost, like, organic, like these mounds, these sort of gently curving mounds and stuff like that, with this one very stylized sort of tree. And they start dancing, or dancing in a very modern way. And with their gloves on, they're able to like throw themselves and slide and like move as they're sliding, like move like on their hands and then use their hands to go into their back as they're sliding. And it was very, very effective. And, but it's one of those things where you're watching and you're listening to the music and you're watching them and you're thinking, how do they know when their part is? Like, how do they know when to do that? Because, you know, it's not set. They're not reacting to each other. They're not, it's not like, you know, it's not like Swan Lake where it's telling a story. So, you know, you go here and you do this and this is where the lovers come together and they have their dance and stuff like that. There's nothing like this. It, when I read the notes that accompanied the show after it was over, the choreographer said that she was trying to think of a continuation of Rite of Spring. So where Rite of Spring stops, this starts. And so you have this different kind of idea of rite, you know, where you have all these dancers dancing, and there's one very tall person wearing this strange headdress. And he does this thing where he walks slowly through them out towards the audience and then down, because this big organic thing also went off the stage and then down into near the front seats. And he walks down it and then he disappears out of sight. Well, the other dancers are still dancing, and he slowly makes this very slow move. Right. And the music's, like I say, throbbing and moving. And the other thing they did that was cool was they had the spotlight. They would square it or make it into a rectangle. Yeah. So they would focus on something. There's one scene where all the dancers stand together, and it made this narrow rectangular band along their faces. So you just saw all their faces in this band of light. It's a very effective show. Very, very good. Like, cool. It's fantastic. There was two parts. I didn't find the second part quite as compelling as the first half. It was still interesting, but it wasn't quite as great. Usually when I go to the ballet, in the first half, I fall asleep because the lights go down and the music starts to play.
Yeah.
And I get very comfortable and then I get very tired and then I start to nod off. But I don't want Lisa to know that I'm falling asleep. So I just don't go full out sleep. I do the head nod, wake up. You know, head snap back, wake up. You know,
have you tried the shutting one eye? That's the eye away from that person.
Yeah.
And sleeping with half of your face.
No, can you do that?
It kind of works, sure.
Is that right?
You do this. You shut one eye, and like you go over here, and you just let yourself sleep there, and you rest this other eye that while it's awake.
Yeah.
And it looks like to the person on your left, like you're still awake,
yeah,
watching it with like a little bit of a limp eye.
Yeah.
But you can go to sleep.
It's a good tip.
Yeah.
But I fell asleep a little bit in the second half.
That also works if you're a doctor.
Is that? Oh, that's also good.
You're bored during a surgery?
I do it while I'm driving. Yep. I just close one eye and then nod my head like I'm falling asleep.
Why not?
It's a bit fun. A little bit of fun.
Oh, that'd be. I don't drive, but that'd be the scariest thing for me, is the idea of like falling asleep while
that is scary. And one time I was driving with Lisa, and we were driving down this road, and I had this weird hill, which I didn't know about, of course. It was the first time I ever went. And as we're approaching this curve, and she looked down at her brake and she goes, oh, I'm having a problem with my brakes. And she drove right over this cliff. And I was just like, and I said, you know, I pushed back with my legs in the seat.
Yeah.
And it was a hill on the other side of this road, but you couldn't see it because it was so steep that when you went over it, then you could see the road. But until that moment, it looked like she was just driving straight off this curve because the road curved around towards the border. And then there was the old road that went straight down this hill.
Oh, wow.
Oh, it scared me. It's a good joke, though. Good joke.
Your little heart went ka-thump, ka-thump,
oh, ka-thump, yeah,
ka-thump, ka-thump.
Yeah, it was good. It was good. So yeah, it was a very interesting.
What was the night of the ballet? What was the ballet called?
The ballet that section of it was called Rite, R-I-T-E.
Okay.
And I've got to say, it was fantastic. It was all done by this dancer who I used to love to go see dance with Ballet BC, named Emily Molnar. She took over the artistic direction of the Ballet BC, and she did the choreography for this, which she actually credited herself and the entire cast, which I could see because it seemed very improvised as well. Not improvised on stage, but I can see how it grew organically as they were working on it, to their parts and stuff like that. It was very, very good though. Like, oh, I really enjoyed it. I've always liked the modern part. Like, I do enjoy the old ones, but I more enjoy them for the music than for the dance. I find the dance a little stodgy.
Old-timey ballet was ruined because of recitals that I had to go see my sisters at.
Yeah.
Especially my sister is 2 years younger than me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I remember being painfully bored. Painfully, painfully, painfully bored.
Yeah.
Like, sitting there, and it just hurts. You're so bored by this stupid, nothing's happening.
Yeah.
Forever. And then it'd be like the next year or 6 months or whatever it is, you got to go to it. And it'd be like, no, I just want to be sick. I want to be home throwing up instead of having to see this.
Wow, that's...
Though I do remember really liking the older girls doing jazz, when they do Taste of Honey. And I was like, it's good.
Even like the music?
Well, no, as a little kid, I liked girls.
Oh, okay.
I never had a point where I didn't like girls.
Yeah.
I was always like, girls. Especially like older girls. It's pretty good. And then I do have another memory of, there was one where they had a boy. I was like, what's the deal with this kid? Yeah. And he was dressed as like a leader of a band. He was doing some stuff.
Okay.
And I said to my dad, hey, you know, could I do ballet? And he went, hell no. And that was the end of that. It was a different time.
That was sportive.
Oh, yeah. No, it was a different time where you wouldn't you do that.
No, wouldn't dream of it.
Nope.
You could do gymnastics, but not ballet.
Nope. I remember one time as a joke, I kissed a boy at school, Bugs Bunny style, right? Because he was just getting up in my face. And I thought that was funny. And it was like, I was a grade 3. Mm. I had the conversation like that night. Wow. Out of all the teachers went, you got to talk to him about you. Boys can't kiss boys.
Yeah.
I was like, that was uncomfortable and weird. It was like Bugs Bunny.
What? Yeah. And so they're trying to like ask you why you did it? And
nope.
Well, there's no why?
They didn't give a shit. It was just don't.
Yeah.
No, there's no why. That doesn't exist.
True. That's true. You're right.
What year is this? Not that year that we ask why or have a conversation.
You're right.
And said this don't happen at all.
You're right. I get it. You are correct, sir. There is no why.
Mm-hmm.
Only don't in very large letters. To be honest, there was very few don'ts in that time period.
Is that right?
I don't remember being told to not do very many
things. Well, I went to a Catholic school, so we don'ted a lot.
You know what? I didn't. Mm. So we got a big fat... It wasn't that we got yesed. I'm not saying we got yeses. What I'm saying is that we got benign neglect. You know? So you just did your stuff.
You got Mowgli'd. You got put in the jungle, and you survive with Baloo.
Yeah, you did your stuff.
And Bagheera. And that snake, I don't remember what his name was.
You were lucky.
Shere Khan.
You were lucky, Shere Khan, yeah. You were lucky. You know, that's basically my viewpoint of everyone's
Shere childhood. Khan was the tiger.
Shere Khan was the tiger. What were you trying to think of then?
I was trying to think of the snake that would hypnotize you.
Oh.
With Jungle Book.
Nagila.
Nice one.
Thanks. It's just, it was a different time period then. I mean, it's hard to even imagine now that... You couldn't turn the clock back because everyone would feel too guilty to go back to that time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no one could handle it. We would just die. Like, as parents, you would die. You would just have a nervous breakdown before you even got, like, a half an hour into being a 70s dad. Forget it.
I think that's one of the problems with time travel is you would go back and die of shame.
You'd die of shame?
You'd just die of shame. I'm just ashamed. Poof. And you go. Can't handle it.
Can't just lay down?
Yeah. It'd be like, I think it would be like this.
Such an existential crisis.
Yeah.
You cannot carry on.
You would have the time bends. You would just go back and like nitrogen would just explode in your brain.
Yeah.
And just like, oh, for fuck's sake, gone. And then you just pass out and things would dribble out of your eyes. The end.
You're probably right. Everything would seem so alien. It's kind of like watching that television show, Life on Mars, where everything seems ugly and dirty and stupid. Like the whole world seems that way.
Mm-hmm.
Like your offices are ugly. The desks are ugly. The suits are ugly. The music is ugly. The cars are ugly. Everything is ugly. Their sideburns are ugly. Their big mustaches are ugly. Their stupid long hair that they shouldn't have because they're not long hair people. They're just growing it because it's fashionable. Ugly. It's all bad. It's an ugly time.
Right. Though, of course, if you 10 years from now came back to now, you'd be all like, what the shit is this?
I don't know.
What is this?
I guess so.
Just look, man.
Yeah, you're right.
You're wearing those glasses. Take your 3D printer. Print you up a new pair. We don't have that yet. What? Oh, my gosh. Forget it. Why does your voice sound like that? Why don't you use your 3D printer and print yourself a tongue cozy that will alter your voice and make your voice sound beautiful?
I like the 3D printer. You put a lot of faith in these things.
Oh, I think the 3D printer is going to be huge in the next while.
I don't think it'll be making glasses, but...
Why not? Wouldn't it?
How would it know? Like, you mean it would be grinding?
How would it know?
It would be grinding the lens? Like, that's not what a 3D printer does.
Maybe it'd be able to. You basically have to have a lens that's the right shape, right? Why couldn't you have that made out of plastic? Tell me why.
Well, there's a few reasons. One is that, I mean, they could make a more efficient plastic, but that Coke bottle effect you get from glasses, it's often from the sort of cheap plastic lenses that you buy when you're a kid. Your parents would get for you because they're cheaper.
Here's what I'm going to say. It would basically be, here's the thing, describing what 3D printers will be, it'd be like us describing what the internet would be to us 20 years ago.
That's true.
I mean, we would just go, no, you're fucking crazy.
If you were talking to someone who grew up in a world of bulletin boards and you know, like BBS or whatever, and then you went into the future and or he said, you know, in the future, this is not going to be like that. It's not going to be all text-based. Yeah. It's going to be way more visual. It's going to have, like, videos, music. They just would be like, I don't understand.
You would say to yourself is, like, first of all the pornography you could ever want for free.
What is that?
Well, let me just say that. As a young man...
Is that a come-on for the internet? I don't understand.
No, it was a come-on...
It's a perk, but I mean, is that really,
on,
like...
It's a come-on from when you were a young man and you had to, like, hunt and hide it. Yes.
Yeah.
Number two, you're a music lover. Hey, Dave. By the way, here's how this works. Any song ever is here on this machine. You can get it. You can pay for it, but that's the honor system. You could also just download it if you want, but it's the honor system. It's up to you. By the way, every movie that's ever existed is here pretty much.
Yeah, pretty much.
There's more things here than you could ever watch or listen to in 100 to 1,000 lifetimes.
Yeah.
And you have access to that. That's Where depressing. Is that? That's on my desk at home. Oh, do you get any work done? Not as much as you'd expect. Do you draw a lot? Draw one real good thing a week. How about the rest of the week?
You know, I don't...
How many channels are on your regular TV?
I hear what you're saying.
Is it up to 20 now?
I don't actually watch a lot of television. Like, I'm not a huge television watcher. Okay. Compared to when I was a kid, like, well, how much television I watch now?
Right.
Really, really small. Like, I would love to have more time to watch TV. I would like to finish watching Daredevil. I think that would be great. I did get through this new season of Longmire. It finally showed up in Netflix, so I was happy with that. My wife and I watched that together. Good show. I don't know if people have watched it. I recommend it. It's a policier based in Wyoming.
Okay.
Filmed in New Mexico, where apparently that's where the text credits are.
Here's how you're going to watch TV. What happens? You got a channel where you can watch all the shows you want. Oh, like they're taped?
Not all of them, but yeah.
Pretty, like, okay.
Yeah, there's a lot of shows.
More than you could ever watch.
There's a lot of shows. Ever. There's a lot of garbage, but yeah.
Right. But like, say, hey, you like that show Angel? Yeah, I like that show Angel. That was okay. How about all of that show? Oh, well, I've bought a DVD set of that. Each season is $21.
Yeah.
Shut up. Here's how it works. $8, you get all the Angel you want, watch them anytime you want.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, you don't have to always scan forward or backwards. It just is really easy to watch. If you stop watching it and then come back watching it a week later, it'll start playing it right where you were.
So will DVDs, but...
it depends if you do other shit with your DVD.
That's true, but...
oh, by the way, Dave, you can watch it. Did I mention you could watch it on your phone?
But
did I mention you can watch it in any room of your house?
That's great, watching stuff on your phone. But did you mention that it's the world's worst rewind? For Netflix. So terrible.
Is it?
Yeah, it's terrible.
Why?
Because it doesn't stop when you want it to. It keeps going back for a bit farther, and then you, forget. I'll just watch this part again.
But hey, it's all full seasons of all these shows. Mm-hmm. So you watch them whenever you want, right there.
You can see all of Friends.
Yeah. Well, if that's
See all of Mad About Me or Mad About You, I should say. You can watch all of
But if you were to describe all this stuff to yourself back then, you would not know how to process it.
Oh,
you would
not
understand how you would incorporate it into your life. Much like the things that you will have access to in 10 years from now. If I was to tell you what those things were right now, you would go, well, that's no, I couldn't do that. And I'll never, first of all, I don't want all that. That's not for me. You will want it a year at a time.
You're right. I would say that too. And I feel like that now that I don't want it, but I do
have
it. Hey,
Dave, you like going to the gym, right?
I do have it. Yes,
okay,
I do.
Listen. There's a thing we're going to put on your wrist that's going to get you in shape. It will tell you all the different things you need to do at the gym.
But I'm in pretty good shape. I don't wear one of those.
I know you don't, but buddy.
Yeah.
Buddy, you thought TV was pretty good when you were a teenager, right? Pretty good. I'm going to watch that David Letterman show. When's that? I'm going to have to stay up and watch it at night because there's no other way of doing it.
You're right.
And you know, how's TV? It's the best. Fuck you, it's the best. Now it's the best. It's fantastic. There's going to be a thing. It will show you, like, it will scan your whole body, and it'll go, Dave, don't work that arm too hard. It's going to, like, rip something. Work this over here.
Does it really do that?
Well, I don't know. It's the future.
Oh, it's the future. Okay, I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about something now.
It'll say, hey, Dave, check that mole out. Get that mole checked out. And it'll, and I'm not even coming up with the stuff that we really will have. It'll be more amazing.
Here's my feeling about those things that are, I mean, that sounds pretty good in the future, but right now what I've noticed with like Fitbits and stuff like that, that everyone who wears them is in less good shape than I am.
Yeah, it's Diet Coke. People who drink Diet Coke are worse shape than people that drink Coke.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Interesting.
Because it's the way. Yeah, absolutely. And also it's new technology, so no one knows how the hell to use it.
That's true. That's part of it.
Yeah. The technology I see that really works is something like Steroids. The kind Joe from Caustic Soda uses, which is he's got
calorie counter. Yeah,
calorie counter. He's got an app that just counts the calories, tells you how much everything is, and there you go. And that's how that works, and it really works. And there you go.
I can see using that very briefly, but I'll put it in this analogy. Like when I was younger, I read about Robert Benchley, and I read that he would write down everything he spent in a day. He would write into a little notebook.
Uh-huh.
I thought that's a really efficient way to budget. I should do that. I did for 1 hour.
Yeah.
And I realized that I'd already spent my budget in that 1 hour, and I put that book away and never used it again. And buying that book was part of my budget.
There you go. But I'm thinking like something like being in shape. Clearly, I mean, you like going to the gym, right?
I do like going to the gym.
So there you go. That's the end.
It's pleasurable to me.
That's right. It's not for most people. Or not most people, but for a lot of people. So for those people, they got to find a trick. They got to find an angle.
I understand. I'm like that with television. I have to trick myself into watching it.
Right.
You know, I don't enjoy pleasure, so I have to fool myself into having a good time.
Hey, Dave, let's go play a video game. Sounds good. I'm going to turn that on. Wait, I don't have a video game system. Shit! TV's on. Now we're watching. Families come. They sit down next to you. What are we watching, Dad? Ah, damn it. I'm watching TV.
Exactly.
We love you, Papa. Okay, now I got to sit with my family and watch TV. The dog's on my lap. God damn it.
That is a good part of my watching television. Actually, that's my favorite way to watch television, is if other people watch the show.
Yeah.
I will enjoy the show. There's no shows that I watch by myself, because that's completely pointless and boring and dumb. Although I do watch movies by myself. That's exciting because I can hear them. You know, that's one thing families aren't good at, is paying attention to television together.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people doing other stuff while they're everyone just settle down?
I went out with someone for a long period of time, and we got along very well.
Mm-hmm.
But they were a movie talker.
Ooh.
Constant movie talker. Yeah. Constant. And it wasn't, hey, so just how's, hey, what's going on with, like, just could not, they couldn't stop talking at a normal level.
Yeah.
It's like, what's wrong with you? Why, shut up. I can't say shut up. No. And so you try whispering to, like, we're whispering, right?
Yeah.
So I'm going to whisper. Yeah. So anyway, do you notice that I'm whispering? So let's all whisper. So who's that character? Oh my God. What are you doing? Everyone can hear you. This is the worst. I've got to leave.
It was a social anxiety.
Yeah. Our first date was going to see a David Lynch movie, and she was asking a lot of questions throughout it.
Well, I can understand that. Those films are confusing.
They are very confusing.
Was it Wild at Heart?
Listen, by mentioning what the film would be, I will identify the person.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
I kind of know who it is, so I'm not going to go with you there.
But
I will not.
I still have cold sweats thinking of
that. Was it Eraserhead?
Sure. I've never seen Eraserhead, actually.
You've never seen Eraserhead?
No.
Pretty good movie. Pretty good film. When I saw it, it was interesting because...
Is it a sequel to Pencil Neck?
Yes. Yes, it is. You're right. And he's loving this joke, everybody. I don't know if you can hear him chuckling to himself. Oh, no one's ever taken so much pleasure. That film, Eraserhead, this is basically what the film's about. Fear of being a father. That's it.
So as someone who has been a father twice, how do you feel about the film Eraserhead?
I feel like, as someone who's... is going to be a father, I can understand.
You're going to be a father?
As someone who was going to be a father.
Oh, was going to be a father.
Right. I can understand that kind of nervousness.
Okay.
About what's coming, the approaching disaster that's certain to happen. Yeah, I didn't really feel that way about it, actually. I was pretty excited about having a little baby. Pretty damn excited. It turned out I was right.
Yeah, you did well.
I hit the lottery.
Yeah.
Can I
Twice.
Say? Twice.
You're one of those jerks.
Yep.
You're one of those jerks who's on the cover of Lotto twice, and everyone's like, oh, no one is more disliked than that guy. But you're not. You're beloved. And speaking of being beloved, people will be able to come up to you in person this weekend.
What?
If you were listening on a Saturday to VanCalf, you'll be able to come up and say, hi, Dave. And if you say hi to Dave, here's what's going to happen. We're going to give you a free button.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Maybe more than one, actually.
Yeah, we got buttons.
We have lots of buttons, everybody.
We'll also have shirts. And we'll be
playing button. Who's got the button?
We will not be giving away shirts. We will be selling
shirts.
We'll
have some shirts
for sale. Because listen, we're not made of shirts.
Or sugar.
We're not giving away sugar either.
Any sugar.
You can come by with a cup of coffee and go like, you guys got any sugar? It's like, no, but we'll throw a button in your coffee.
That's right.
And then when you get to the bottom of your coffee, you'll have forgotten about it and go like, hey, free button. Pretty good.
We have a lot of buttons.
I like it.
Okay.
You know, because when we do sell our shirts, we like putting little extra things
like
in there.
I like to send the buttons off.
Yeah, and you get to... By the way, if you feel like buying something from our store, SneakyDragon.com, and just go click on Jerk Store,
yep.
You'll get some free stuff when you order a shirt or any other merchandise like that there. But if you want to come and see us in person, again, VanCalf, we will give you stuff there,
too. It doesn't sound so good anymore, though.
What?
Hey, you should go by the Jerk Store. I think they've got your size.
Yeah, maybe we should change that. Anyway, if you want to comment in any way on this show, why should you be any different than us?
Yeah.
Then SneakyDragon.com is also where our message boards are.
Oh, I thought you were going to say they could, you could comment on the show to us in person.
Yeah, you could do
that. At VanCalf.
Right. Or you could write it down if you're antisocial, like both of us.
But don't expect any sugar.
Yeah. Though a spoonful of it makes the medicine go down, unless you're a diabetic, in which case it does not.
Makes the medicine go up.
Yeah, it really does. In a not delightful way. Anyway, if in person you want to see us, VanCalf. If by online you want to see us, SneakyDragon.com or our Facebook page.
Yes.
Or on Twitter, Sneaky_Dragon. That's how you do it.
I heard that.
We love hearing from you. It's always a treat. And we look forward to seeing a bunch of you in person over the weekend.
Yes. Thank you, everybody.
We will even put on pants.
I'm going to be putting on more than pants.
Nice.
I'm going to be putting on two pairs of pants.
And if you want to listen to other podcasts we've done at SneakyDragon.com, we have our new one, Totally Tintin, where we go through all the different Tintin books. And we also have our older one, Completely Beatles, where we go through every Beatles album. So if you want to hear more of this
that stuff. That one's from the 60s.
But more on topic and consistently on topic, then those are the ones to do that.
Yes, or you can listen to our one topic shows.
Yeah, we're also looking for things to do on our 200th episode. So if you got any ideas for that, also run those by us. Yes. And Dave, it's your job to wrap this up.
Well, thanks for wrapping up the show, Ian. I appreciate you doing all that about our social media presence, which is so strong. The last time I tweeted, I believe FDR was still in office. That's how long ago. I think I tweeted Pearl Harbor, # ouch.
Oh, no, you didn't.
Oh, no, you didn't. I didn't put the D in the last part of it.
Oh, no, you D-Day.
Oh, no, you... Anyway, I don't want to mess with your time traveling. Everybody, thank you for listening to our show. I really hope you'll come by and see us at VanCalf if you live in Vancouver. If you don't live in Vancouver, you have all the excuses in the world to not come by.
And if you live in
Yet, I will not accept any of them.
And if you live in Aldergrove, just go see Dave at his house.
Yes, please drop on by.
If you do that, Dave will have sugar for you.
I will have some sugar for you. And probably
throw it in your eyes and say, get out.
Get out of here. Run away. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Can I just say thank you and get out of the show? Really? I'm getting like kind of mad now. This is the final season of the show. Is a debating style show where I'm the mad guy. That's what this is.
Well, they need a new Bill.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to the show. Good night.
All right. They need a new Bill O'Reilly. I think he's in some trouble right now. So that's Dave's audition tape. And that was a good take. We're going to wrap it up then. Ears in town.